Take your Bibles, if you will, and let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And I want to talk for a little bit about the beauty of the name of Christ. It's a beautiful name, isn't it?
Amen.
The name Jesus. Say it with me, would you? Jesus. Isn't that a calming, precious name?
Amen.
The name Jesus. The beauty of His name. Matthew chapter 1, and we'll drop down to verse 21 and read through verse 23. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, there it is, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin, not just a woman as some versions say, but a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There are a lot of important names that you've heard of, and we're familiar with many of those tonight. If it's sports, it would be Dak Prescott. Now, I said that so some of you, I know the Cowboys are playing after a while, but I want to promise you it doesn't matter to me one way or the other when I'm preaching. That's never been a big deal in this church anyway, and I'm sort of glad. But we think of politics, and we think of Donald Trump. Now, let's move on very quickly. And then in business, we think of Elon Musk, and I hope he does some good with that. In music, it'd be Mark Lowry, I believe. He wrote the song, Mary, Did You Know? And I think he said that it had been 30 years since he wrote that song. My wife was telling me she heard him say that last night, and I'm like, what? 30 years? I remember when Mark just started out, he would come by our church. We were only 100 miles from Lynchburg, and he would sing for us and do some banquets and everything. That's back when he was sane. And then he got converted. In art, it might be Michelangelo. I've been in the Sistine Chapel, seen some of his paintings, beautiful paintings. And my favorite one was where you had to turn. The guy said, turn this way and look, and you'll see that he was skinning the Pope in his picture. See, he was forced to do those paintings up there. And so he sort of snuck that in. And only an artist would really know, and they showed us that. I have heard of brilliant people who are, we might call them a wizard. They remember maybe at a banquet. There was one guy who could remember 50 to 200 names at a banquet and call their names later and go up to them and speak to them. Now, I'm doing good if I can remember my name at my age now. Every once in a while, I have to ask my wife, is that right? That's my name, isn't it, right? But it doesn't matter, and it's a pitiful thing if a man might know all of those names that he remembers and all of that if he does not know the name of Jesus Christ and what the name of Jesus Christ really means. And that name is a name above all names.
Amen.
So we think tonight, first of all, about the comfort of that beautiful name, the comfort of that name. Especially at a time of sorrow. I remember, and I've shared this story here before, in this pulpit, but I remember when my brother was 25, got killed in a car wreck. He had a fancy sports car, and there's a long story to that deal, but actually some teenagers forced him off the road, as far as we can tell, when he was on his way back home. Had a wreck, killed him instantly. I remember the funeral at Woodlawn Baptist Church in Rayville, Louisiana. There's a lady here who knows where that is tonight and found that out this morning. But we were in Woodlawn Baptist Church, and the preacher was preaching, and I remember the song that was sung, Beyond the Sunset. And that song always has a very special place in my heart. But he was killed instantly. But the only comfort we had was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I watched my dear mother and my dear daddy go through that, And the only name that could really comfort them, the only thing that did, was Jesus Christ. I was called one day by a young lady, and she said, "Brother Weaver, I don't know if you remember me or not. This is Natasha." And I had to think a little bit, and she said, "I was a member of your church, got saved under your ministry there in Connersville, Indiana." And I said, "Oh yeah, Natasha, I remember when you were in the bad wreck and I visited you in the hospital and all of that. And I remember you got saved and I baptized you." She said, "Yes, that's true." She said, "I'm a stewardess now, and I've been working in that job for quite a while." But she said, "I'd met a pilot, and he worked for Southwest Airlines. And that was back when the Zika virus." How many of you remember the Zika virus that was going around? A lot of people died with that, we forget. But this pilot, who looked like the perfect picture of health, this pilot had the Zika virus. I went into the hospital. She said, "Will you visit him?" I said, "Yes." She said, "And by the way, he's not saved." I said, we'll do our best to take care of that." And so we went in the hospital, and I witnessed to him. He was from a Roman Catholic background, but thank God that day he got saved. He received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And we thought he was getting better, but within 2 or 3 days, I happened to walk in one day. "Pastor, you've done this, and if not, I know you will." You walk in, and right there, they're saying, they're crying, and you say, "Well, what happened?" And they said, "He passed, he died." But I'll tell you, the comfort of Jesus was the only name that could comfort her and could comfort the people. I remember we went to the Japanese gardens here in Fort Worth, and that's where the funeral was. There were a lot of pilots there, a lot of stewardesses there, a big crowd of people there. But I was glad I could tell those people that he got saved and he was in heaven. He didn't have to join a church and be baptized and all of that. He got saved in a hospital bed. He knew Jesus Christ. He's in heaven today. Amen. And I will look forward to seeing him again and finishing our conversation that we didn't get to finish. I remember when our grandson was killed and he went on home to be with the Lord. I'll tell you, the only comfort we had was the name of Jesus. And what a precious, precious comfort that is. And his name is precious not only then, but also in a time of trouble. Anybody here hadn't been in any trouble? I don't mean in jail, but I mean in any trouble over the past few years. Trouble comes, doesn't it? And some of you are going through some real difficult troubles and trials right now. If you knew what some of our people were going through, that maybe the pastor knows about, we don't know about, then you might be surprised at some of the deep trials that our people are going through. We've been through them. You've been through them. And you probably will be through some more, some difficult times. And the only name that will bring you comfort during those times of trouble is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be health problems. That's something that you don't count on, but those things come. And there are people who are suffering tonight physically, and they're going through trials physically and having problems, and those things can come to our lives. But Paul was told by Jesus, was told by God, "My grace is sufficient for you." And I can tell you, Jesus will get you through your trials. He's the only one, I think, that can really do it. And I'm glad whenever we fall, when we fail God. And sometimes we do, don't we? I mean, stop and think of some times that you have failed God. And most of us would not want to tell people about the times. I don't want to get your water, preacher. I don't know what you've been drinking, but anyway. But I'm taking medication and it dries my mouth out. And so I know that you can stop and think of the times you failed God. And many of us would be ashamed to get up and tell what that time was or those times were. But aren't you glad for 1 John 1:9, where the Bible says, if we confess our sins to whom? To Pope Willie? No. To Father Willie? No. But to Jesus Christ, amen? And we go to him in prayer and we confess our sins. And I'm glad that Jesus is the name that will accept us. And he'll say, my child, you're forgiven. Amen. You repent, you get it straightened out, and you go on. And only the name of Jesus is a name that can do that for you. And then there's the name of Jesus and the hour of death. As a pastor over the 50 years in the ministry, I've seen a lot of people die and go on and be with the Lord. I've passed by many a casket right here over those 19 years. And I've, over those years, seen many, many people die and been there when they died. I remember one man I led to the Lord. He had cancer. It had eaten through his back. And he was unsaved. And his family said, will you go by and talk to him? And I said, sure. His name was Mr. Jenny. And I said, yeah, I'll go by and talk to him. I went by his home, led him to Jesus. And a few weeks later, a few months, not too long after that, he was in the hospital. I was going by to visit him. And when I got there, his granddaughter was in there with him. And she, when I walked in, she said, he's about to pass. And they tell me he doesn't have long. And I said, well, God, it's in God's hands. We'll just see what God does. And I was standing there. And all of a sudden, on his face, there was a smile that came. And tears began to come down his cheeks. And that was a real thing because he was seeing something we were not seeing. He was seeing Jesus, I believe, and seeing the fact that he was going to go to heaven. I remember when Doris Gonzalez passed away. I remember how sweet and precious it was that she had such a peace in her heart, knowing that she was going home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And even there in the hospital, leading people to Jesus Christ and telling them about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember, Madeline, when your mother died. I remember there being in the hospital and the family singing and all of those things going on. And the nurses were weeping and crying. Male nurses and female nurses were weeping and crying. But the joy that was in that room was unexplainable because she was going home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's comfort in that name at a time of death. And then there's power in that name. That name points out sin. You know what we do? We compare ourselves with other people. You go out and witness to people and you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden they'll be telling you how good they are. And they'll talk about, well, I know some hypocrites down at your church. See, you're comparing yourself to the wrong person tonight, friend. You don't compare yourself with me or anybody else. If you want to compare yourself with somebody to see how well you're doing, compare yourself with Jesus. Amen. And you'll find out that he's impeccable and he never sinned. And the Bible describes that in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain or two he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Amen. He said, man, I saw God. I saw Jesus, as it were, in that vision. And I realized, hey, I'm a man of filthy lips. I'm a man of a filthy heart and unclean lips and all of that. He compared himself with Jesus and saw that he needed something. And by the way, there's no such thing as little sins. Sin is sin. And God looks at sin as sin. Whether it's pride or some fleshly thing, jealousy, bitterness, pornography, it may be alcohol and drugs, I don't know. But whenever we think of his name, that points out our sin, and we put that against the beautiful white background, and our black sin really shows up because we're sinners and we need the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm glad this name gives hope to the worst sinners. You know, there's not a person on the face of the earth God won't save if they'll come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says Jesus came into the world to save good Baptists who don't do anything wrong. No, I read that wrong. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. Amen. And Paul was a sinner. He had people killed. The woman at the well was a sinner. And Jesus said, go call your husband. And she said, well, I've got this here problem. He said, I know you got five husbands and you got one you're living with now and you're not married. But Jesus loved her, didn't he? And Jesus was the answer to her problems and all of those things that took place in her life. I'm glad the worst sinners in the world can be saved. Let me tell you tonight, friend, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what you've done in your life, if you will come to Jesus and confess your sin and ask him to save you, he will there and then save you right on the spot. Amen. Thank God he'll do that. And so he gives hope to the worst sinners. And he challenges us also, when we think of his name, to do our very best. To do our very best. When I look at Jesus, I realize something's wanting. I realize there's some more for me to do. I realize that I need to be more like Christ. You ever sort of get tired of yourself? Sick of self? Sick of the fact that you're just not more dedicated than you really want to be? And somehow or another, you become a casual Christian a little bit, and a little bit of Laodiceanism has crept into your life and into your family and into your heart. And you realize that, and you sort of look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, I need to straighten these things out. I need to get them straightened out. Sometimes whenever I compare myself or I'm praying or thinking about Jesus, just having him on my mind, I realize there's so much more growing I can do, so much more I can do for the glory of God. The church at Ephesus had a problem. What was it? What was that problem? They left their first love. And sometimes that's what we do. And we need to be reminded, he can't fully bless us until he fully conquers us. He cannot fully bless us until he fully conquers us. And so we had to do like Paul said and die to self. And how often did Paul say he had to do that? I die daily. Every morning I get up, one of the first things I have to do is crucify myself. Otherwise, I'll get up too grumpy. Amen? Like some of you, your husband's wives or whatever. But he cannot fully bless us until he fully conquers us. Death to self. Oh, how we need death to self. And we go to the Lord. And then, this is the hard part about it, but there's the condemnation of his name. The condemnation of his name. Listen to it carefully. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Oh, I like that.
Amen.
Security.
Yes.
He that believeth on him is not condemned.
Amen.
I am not condemned tonight. I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm born again, washing the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Some of you may not believe that, but I'm going to heaven, whether you believe it or not. But listen to the rest of that verse, which is tragic, because he hath not believed. He says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why is that person condemned already? Listen, tonight, dear friend, if you're here, hear me now, if you're here and you have never received Christ as your Savior, you're condemned already. I don't care who you are, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are standing in the position of being condemned by Almighty God. That's what the Bible says. If you believe on him, you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because, why? Why is he condemned already? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why people go to hell. They won't believe in Jesus. They won't believe in His name, in what His name stands for, in what He's done when He took our place on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood and took our punishment. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. And the Bible says here He is condemned already. That's the position you're in. Not only that, and this is terrible, but He is condemned forever. If you do not get saved, my dear friend, you are condemned forever. And I don't know about you, but that would shake me up if I wasn't saved. Now, you might die tonight. You might die this week. You don't know when you're going to die. But if you die without Jesus, you are condemned forever. How long is forever? It's forever. It never ends. It never ends. It's like dropping a rock into a well that has no bottom. It never ends. You're condemned and condemned forever. How sad. Condemned to what? Condemned to hell. Preachers don't like to preach on hell anymore, and it's not my favorite subject. And I don't like to think about it, but I sure don't like to think about people dying and going to hell. Hell is a horrible place. The caverns of the doomed. But if you do not accept Jesus, His name, He came to be the Savior. He came to save men and women from their sins. He came to be our Redeemer. If we reject that, we're condemned. And we're condemned forever and forever and forever. Can you imagine dying and going to hell and never getting out of hell? That's what happens. Friend, if you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell, and you'll never get out of hell. I cannot imagine in my mind, as far as I let it go out and think about that, I cannot imagine how tragic that would be to die and go to hell and never get out of hell. Never get out of hell. God's grace is there for us, though, and that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful the name of Jesus. And I can tell you tonight, in Him, we have all we need. Amen. All we need for salvation, for help, for these things I've mentioned. In the name of Jesus, we have all we need. Our sins, our burdens, all can be brought to Him. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for a moment. If you have a burden tonight, my friend, come to the altar. Pour your heart out. God will take care of it through Jesus Christ. He's our burden bearer. The beauty of His name, come to Him. If you're going through trials and difficulties, just come and pour your heart out to Him and lay your burdens here on the altar and leave them there, because Jesus will take care of it. If you failed Him and you know there's something wrong and you need to make it right, you come, rededicate your life. Compare yourself, dear friend, with Jesus, and you'll realize you're a sinner and you need to be saved. If you're here tonight and you haven't been saved, I hope you'll come when we have this invitation. Whatever the need, Jesus can meet that need. Father, thank You for the wonderful, precious, and lovely name of Jesus. Thank You, dear God, that You gave Your only Son to come to this earth to live a sinless life, to go to the cross of Calvary and pay our sin debt. I pray if there's someone here tonight without Christ, oh God, that they'd receive Christ. Realize they're in a state of condemnation until they get saved. And I pray they would come to that place where they're not condemned. They would accept Jesus. May we bring our burdens to You. May we get our comfort from You. May we be convicted of our sin. From Your very name, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.